Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Keep those iPods coming.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For $100 million, Apple gets to keep bringing iPods into the U.S. The company is paying that money to rival Creative Technology to settle patent lawsuits. The suits had threatened to block imports of the iPod. The music players are made overseas. Creative claimed that iPods infringed on technology that was developed for the Zen MP3 player. IBM has been doing a lot of shopping lately for other companies. Already this month, IBM has snatched up three smaller tech firms. Janet Babin looks at why Big Blue is getting bigger.
IBM used to be the go-to firm for computer hardware, basic software, and supplies. It partnered with other companies to help business customers manage files or protect networks from hacking. If approved by shareholders, this latest round of acquisitions would give IBM these types of products in-house. That means it'll have to compete with companies it used to partner with. John Reimer with Forrester Research says things could get uncomfortable, and IBM's profits might ultimately suffer.
Anytime a company changes the competitive balance between it and its partners, those partners all look again. They may, in fact, be spooked and go and put their investments with a competitor of IBM.
But the acquisitions could be worth it. Big Blue's tech management software is one of its most profitable segments, and the inclusion of ISS could help jumpstart sluggish growth at its services unit. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Some rather chilly housing market numbers froze Wall Street. The Dow fell 41 points, a third of a percent, to 11,297. The NASDAQ dropped 7/10. The S&P 500 was off 0.5%. Workers at the world's largest copper mine have been on strike for 3 weeks now. The company that owns the Escondida mine in Chile has been raking in the profits. Copper prices are way up there. But as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, that hasn't given the miners much leverage.
Workers originally demanded a 13% raise and $30,000 bonus linked to copper prices. In the last 2 weeks, they've reduced their demands twice, but the company still won't meet them. Catherine Verger is with commodities research firm CPM Group.
They do not want to concede to higher wages than what they foresee as feasible in upcoming years.
Copper may be fetching near record prices now, but Verger says company bosses are hedging their bets.
They definitely see within 2007 that prices should be coming off sharply.
And profits will diminish along with them. The company says its 4% raise offer is final. Verger says copper traded on world markets is likely to remain fairly pricey for the short term. That's partly because other mines in Chile have contract renewals coming up and there's always the chance of yet another strike. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Nobody likes getting fired. But an accounts clerk in England took it harder than most. David Lennon bombarded his former employer with 5 million emails. That caused the server at Domestic and General Insurance to collapse. One court said the company had no case. Its server was designed to receive emails. But yesterday, another court overturned the ruling and gave the former clerk a 2-month curfew. This is Marketplace. Today in Raleigh, North Carolina, the International Spy Conference. Here's Jeff Tyler.
Right on schedule, Castro got sick. Perfect timing for this year's Spy Conference, which is coincidentally focused on Cuba post-Castro. The news coverage of the ailing communist may bump attendance above the 200 lay people expected. Conference founder Bernie Reeves says his audience may not be huge, but they buy books. He says that keeps the speakers, like renowned intelligence scholar Nigel West, returning year after year.
150 books last year, and he's coming again this year because he enjoys the conference, and of course he probably can sell more of his books.
But Reeves is more interested in marketing Raleigh and attracting business. He did manage to put the city on the map in one respect. In years past, the FBI sent undercover agents to monitor the event. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with four top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Oil prices are yo-yoing a bit at the moment. They fell 2% yesterday. They inched back up again today. Latest price, about $72 a barrel. The yo-yoing has actually been going on for some time now. And the main reason, says our economics correspondent Chris Farrell, is a huge upswing in the amount of speculative money in the oil market.
So this is money that's betting that the price of oil is going to go higher. And that's up 1,500% from several years ago.
Why is there so much speculative money now?
Part of it has to do with what's been going on in the commodity markets the past couple of years. I mean, think about it, Scott. You know, year after year, the price of oil has gone higher. And, you know, originally we were talking about, well, it's not going to get much higher than $40 a barrel. Then all of a sudden it's at $50 a barrel. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's at $60 a barrel. And so more and more money has been betting on this bull market in the price of oil. And speculators have been doing well because there's been a lot of events, from the hurricanes of last season to problems in Nigeria. You know, recently we had the problems in Alaska and Prudhoe Bay. You know, there's been a lot of things that have driven the price of oil higher.
I got to say, my first reaction is to be pretty upset about this, because if it was just good old-fashioned supply and demand, I could probably live with it. But the fact that it's speculative, and then I'm seeing that at the gas pump, kind of makes me mad.
See, I love speculators, because here's what's happening. One of the reasons why I think the price of oil is going to go low is because with all this speculative money in there and the price of oil going higher, we're finding energy sources all around the world. And right now, there's actually, I think, an excess amount of oil around. There's more energy than we really need, particularly with the U.S. economy slowing down and strong signs around the world that high energy prices have reduced demand and increased conservation and brought more energy and oil out of the ground and gas out of the ground. So what the speculators help do is improve the fundamentals. They do affect the forces of supply and demand. Nobody ever likes speculators, but I kind of do. I think they're really important.
All right, I can buy that argument. So if it does drop, say, to $50 a barrel, what happens to our newfound energy conservation efforts?
I don't think they stop at all. In fact, I think they continue to accelerate. And there's a couple reasons. First of all, at $50 a barrel, it still isn't cheap. It still makes your alternative energy sources and some of your technological innovation attractive. So the American consumer is going to be more energy conscious, and it's also happening around the world, in China and elsewhere, where there are genuine concerns about conservation. And so I think that momentum will continue even at $50 a barrel.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace economics correspondent. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Every week.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.